Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
There are so many Christian women with fascinating stories, whether missionaries, musicians, reformers, authors, or wives and mothers, their examples are inspirational to us all.
And today is no exception.
Of course it's not. Cheryl.
We get really excited when we have living. Like, you know, so many of the people we talk about, yes, are in the past. But I think it's so important that people know today.
Yes.
That there are people who are serving the Lord with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And God is doing incredible things when you give your all to Jesus.
Exactly.
And it's an adventure, isn't it? I mean, we've both been on this adventure with Jesus. And I'm really excited because Megan Havilar, who's in studio with us, is a friend of mine.
Even better.
Her husband and she serve here at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Mm-hmm. She's been the biggest blessing, and I'm just so excited. You know, it's interesting, Megan, because your name has come up on other podcasts. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that is fun.
It really is. And so we had Aileen Allegra mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. she was going out to lunch with you afterwards. And then all of a sudden, it was, you know, like, bells going off, like, yes.
Wait a minute.
I know, Megan. Megan needs to be in studio with us.
So welcome, Megan.
Thank
you.
You're here.
Thank you. Yes. So, okay, Megan, I like to start with where did you grow up?
I'm from Denver. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Colorado. My parents were divorced when I was young, but my mom got saved and started going to my Calvary, mm-hmm. Tom Stipes. Church.
I love Tom.
Yeah.
I love Tom's in heaven with my dad, but I love Tom.
Yeah. So I just came from a really solid church. Mm-hmm. Just really, really solid church. And then, just kind of normal life. Nothing, mm-hmm. you know, nothing crazy.
How old were you when you remember giving your life to the Lord?
I was in high school, 15. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
When I entered youth group, mm-hmm. I had a really amazing youth pastor and wife. Very discipleship based.
I love that.
Such a
very relational. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Just invited us into their life with them. And mm-hmm. I think they really helped set the trajectory mm-hmm. of my life and of what true discipleship, I think, is. Just very relational. Just inviting people in, having them be a part of your life. And they truly did that. In so many levels to so many of us kids. There was like 75 kids in my youth group and we loved it. We loved to be together and be with them. And my youth pastor, I remember he looked me in the eye one day and was like, you need to come on the winter retreat. And mm-hmm. I was pretty shy. Back then, I didn't really know a lot of people in my youth group. I knew a couple people from school. I went to public school. Yeah, but I just knew a few people. And when he like just really intentionally invited me, I was like, okay, like I just felt wanted.
Mm-hmm. What a great feeling too.
Yeah. And so on this retreat, winter retreat, when I was about 15 is when I feel like, okay, Lord, like I want to give my life to you. I want to surrender my life to you. So, yeah.
You know, growing up in Denver, I happen to know that you are a outdoor aficionado.
It's true. I love that's Colorado life. You learn to be outside all year long. Mm-hmm. Snow, summer, all the things. We are outside.
And you're an avid swimmer.
Yeah.
Hiker.
I love water. I grew up with water. I grew up in the snow. Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you get saved. Mm-hmm. How did you, what was the time that you said, all right, Lord, I'll go wherever you want? Or, you know, I'm trying to get to, because your next step that I know of is going to Hungary.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah. So our youth pastor was also really, you know, just saw the importance of mission trips and getting people involved in missions as youth.
That is so important, too.
Yes, it is.
Because I think that if you don't go on a missions trip, you don't realize the need and hunger. And mm-hmm. almost we take the gospel almost for granted. Like, you know, oh, I've got the gospel. We're so surrounded. We're so inundated. And then you go to another country and you realize they're starving.
Yeah.
They don't
There's
have
a bigger world out there than all this little petty things that I've been so concerned about. That's what I felt as a teenager when I started going on missions trips to Mexico and then to college.
onward and outward. Mm-hmm. But the 25 years that my husband was a youth pastor, that was such a high priority for us to get those kids to realize that the world is hungry for the Lord and that it's a bigger world than what they knew. We just had a woman that came and stayed with us, and she had grown up in our youth group. And my husband was sort of saying, oh, you know, I wish I could have done this differently, or like you do, kind of reminiscing, but then there's always difficult times. And she said, just stop. Do you know, I was with a bunch of my friends, and we were sitting around talking about our teenage years and our churches and our youth groups. And she said, of all the women, I was the only one who could say that my youth pastor not only was faithful to the Lord during the time I was in the youth ministry, he continued to be, he's still married. And she said every other one had really sad, shipwrecked their faith experiences with the person that was leading them. So I love hearing these stories where there's a faithful youth pastor who has been able to truly disciple, because that next generation has the role modeling and the example.
And missional.
Yep.
Yes. And missional, to give you the big picture.
Yep.
Of,
exactly.
You know, what I found too is often when kids go on these mission trips, they're like, oh, Jesus is bigger and more important than I realized.
Yep.
This a creation fest. When you see the transformations, Creation Fest is a festival we do in England. When you see the transformations, the kids who go over with us see these kids go from darkness to light.
It's beautiful.
It not only is transforming to the person who goes, who's delivered out of darkness, but to the ones who see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I serve a bigger God than I realized. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
yes, exactly.
How did you, no, you went on a mission trip.
We love
trip.
Your beginning.
Yes. Yes. All those things. I know.
What was your first mission trip?
So I was to Mexico.
Okay.
So every other year they would do Mexico, and then every other year they would come here and kind of do LA and do street evangelism.
It. Yes.
Like that. But I went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, the first half of our trip was in Mexico City. We worked with a Spanish church, and like back then, dramas were really popular.
Yeah, I remember
we
those.
We learned
yes.
a pantomime drama, and we'd go out and we'd do it and share the gospel, and you know, we'd have translators and all of that. And then after that, we actually drove way down closer to the Belizean border in like this tropical rainforest, little village. And there were missionaries there, and they had, they had their home, and they, but their mission was to like build a church and just love on these people. I mean, people lived in the mountains. I mean, you have to walk. It was just a very rural area, but they built a church from the ground up, and they just would go around and, you know, just meet with the people, see what they needed, how could they help? Like, it was, they lived their life among the people. And I just remember, like, that experience and kind of being on the bus back to Mexico City and just really feeling this, like.
And how old are you right then?
I was 16.
Okay, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm. That I just kind of was like, wow, Lord, like, I think this is something I want to do. Like, I would love, I could do this. And I feel like he was inviting me, you know, just that first step of inviting me into this like world of missions. And it was like, that was definitely the key point of having that. And it was because my youth pastor, just all the things. And so, that was like that trip. And I remember coming home and just feeling like, and I told my youth pastor, I was like, I think I'm supposed to be a missionary. And he was like, okay. And him and his wife were really supportive and just were really trying to help just get me then onto the right path, you know?
Love it. So how did you end up in Hungary?
Yeah.
At the Bible
College? My youth pastor's wife, she had actually gone on a trip to Hungary and Austria before the Bible College moved over there.
Okay.
And I remember when she came back, I was like 17, maybe 18 at the time. And she was just came back and told me like, oh, my gosh, they're moving the Bible College from Austria to Hungary, and just told me the how missional it is and missions minded, and it's run by missionaries. And she was like, I really think you should pray about going. And I was like, wow, that's really awesome, you know? I mean, I didn't have a clue how God was going to, like, get me on the mission field at this point in my life, you know? But I, you know, was like, okay. And then that winter time, I went with a group from my church. We went to the missions conference in Marietta. Mm-hmm. And like Rod Thompson was there and Paul Lang. And they just shared about the Bible College, like it's moving from Austria to Hungary. And and I was like, okay, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And I remember getting home and telling my family and they were good with it. Like, I've loved to travel. I love to go out. My grandparents took me to Germany when I was young to see my life out, you know, how they grew up. And yeah, I feel like I've always just been really, I knew I wasn't going to like live and die in Denver. Like I knew there was something more. Yeah. That God had for me out in the world. So, yeah. So then I just went to Bible college not knowing anybody.
Mm, and that's a brave thing.
That was...
Well, I mean, it's brave to go all the way to Hungary to Vida because for those who are listening, the Bible college still is there. I'm sorry, it's not there. It's run by the Hungarians. But at that point, when there was a Bible college, it was newly renovated, one. And two, Vida is in the middle of nowhere in Hungary. It's what? How far is it from Budapest?
It's about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. South, yeah.
I remember driving to the Bible college from Budapest going, wow, this is really
are we there
out there. Yeah. To the point where you see little carts and people with their carts instead of cars on the road. I mean, lots of farms. And then I remember seeing storks. Lots of stork nests. Mm-hmm. I mean, when do you see that? And they're up on the like telephone wires? And electrical wires, these huge stork nests. I've never seen so many storks in my life. Yep. So you're rural.
You are out there. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I remember like showing up. I actually went to Germany first to visit my uncle. He was stationed there. Mm-hmm. And then he helped me get to Budapest. But we all had to meet at the church. And I just remember.
So you did that all by yourself?
All by myself.
You flew into Hungary.
I flew to Germany.
To Germany. And then did you drive?
I took a train.
A train.
My uncle got me on a train.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yes.
This was...
How old were you?
I was 19.
Oh, my goodness. That is so brave.
Yeah. I was up for it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. The Lord was with you, obviously. Yes.
I remember the airport and all my friends had come to say goodbye to me. And it was like, knew that this was goodbye to this time of my life, you know, like
that's pretty heavy at 19.
I was gonna see them at Christmas time, like I wasn't like gonna be gone forever, but yeah, I think it was just this like, okay, yes, I'm giving up this life to follow what I feel like the Lord
there's this sense that this is not going to be my past,
yeah,
and not my continual experience. I've had that so many times where it's just like, oh, we're moving on.
Yes. Yeah. Just one of those like moments in my mind, like, okay, this is me doing that. And I remember showing up to the church, the Calvary Budapest.
Yes.
And it's like nighttime and you're just in this big city. Hungarian is such a hard language.
It is.
To know and learn and speak. So, And there was just this other group of Bible college kids. And it was, I kind of remember going in with an attitude of like, I'm not really here to make friends. Like, I'm here because God's going to tell me where I'm going to be a missionary, and then I'm going to go be a missionary. Mm-hmm. Like, I that was kind of my attitude. Like, I'll be here for a year, and in this year, God, then you can tell me where I'm supposed to be a missionary, and that's where then I'm going to go be a missionary there. So that was kind of my attitude, kind of going into it. But immediately, like, met the most amazing people, made the most amazing friends, like. You know, the first semester of Bible college, we had nothing. We had nothing. We had no coffee shop, we could barely get a hold of our parents. I checked my email one time that semester because I took the bus 45 minutes to the bigger city to go to the internet cafe to check my email.
That's Vita.
Yeah, it was, we had nothing to do but be together and hang out together and everything. It's like we just had to do it all together. Our laundry, our cleaning, like,
And the food was pretty brutal.
The food was horrible for semester.
That's a known fact. Yes. It was brutal. Well, you know, too, the diet in Hungary is so different. Like they do chicken foot soup. So part of it is just the adjustment of different food than you're used to eating. And then secondly, it's that, you know, they're on a budget. They're just kind of finding, you know, where do we shop? I mean, it was craziness.
Yeah, and it sure makes you appreciate
yes
what you grew up with and what you
yes
had. I taught a week-long writer's conference in Bulgaria a few years ago, and we were in a remote location. The facility was great. 16 beginning writers, another woman and myself. And the other woman was from England, and I hadn't been to that far. I'd been to the Eastern Europe, but not quite that far. So we discovered that our meals every day were a piece of bread.
That's right.
And maybe some olives. And a lady in the village came and brought this, like, big bucket of milk. She'd milked her cow for us, and we boiled the milk and had little saucers of milk that we could dip our bread in. It was jubilee.
I mean, yes.
And then, I mean, you come home and just feel like, mm-hmm, I have so much, and
right,
I don't realize
right
this is how people live
right
every single day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that respect, being at the Bible college, even with the deprivation of food, it's really preparing you
yeah
for
oh, yeah
the mission field.
Oh, yeah. Totally. You... Yeah, we had no other
outlets,
choice
yeah
but to, you
yeah
know, whatever was presented to us, this was,
yes,
yeah, this was what we were doing. This is what we were eating. This is what we were learning. These were the people we
yeah
were with. You know,
yeah
in our dorm rooms, it was so international. Like,
mm-hmm,
so many Europeans, Africans. We had at some point even people from Pakistan and India. So people all over the world, Brazil. So, and you're just like stuck in the room
wow
with these people. So I think to me, one of the biggest things that Bible college taught me, there are a few, but one of them was like, as we were learning the Bible and being taught, you know, the word, we were also able to apply it
mm-hmm
like right away, you know, like in our dorm rooms,
mm-hmm,
dealing with multicultural people, you know, some like to sleep with the window open. Some thought you would catch a cold, so they would get up in the middle of the night and shut the window.
And there's no screens.
And there's no screens.
There's no screens. There's mosquitoes. So that and there's wasps too. I mean, quite a few bees and wasps.
Yeah. You're in the countryside.
You really
think
are.
Like
mm-hmm
yeah, yeah, middle America, just in the country.
Mm-hmm. So this was a year-long school.
It was a two-year program the time that
okay
I went. So you could graduate in 2 years, like you could in Marietta or York or Ziegen, and
mm-hmm
get just an associate's
mm-hmm
degree. But then a year after the Bible college was there, Phil Metzger started the missions training program. So then I switched from Bible college to the missions training program.
The same location.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And I think he saw this, like, that some of us had truly come
mm-hmm
because we felt called to missions and we wanted to, yeah, know how to be a missionary, know how we're supposed to live that life and all those things. So it was different in the sense of we had a little bit more leadership responsibility at the school, like the interns also did. And we were to go on a month-long outreach. Every semester, every person went on a 10-day outreach to another country, or it could be within Hungary. But then aside from that, the missions training program, we had to also do a 30-day. We would spend 30 days somewhere. And we had to kind of figure that out. Where were we going to go? What were we going to do? We also had to be more in language school, like more mm-hmm intensive language training, whether that was Hungarian or another language that we, yeah, we're going to maybe go to. So at that point, I had gone to Italy, actually, a couple times. And I'm Italian on my mom's side. I grew up Catholic. My mom grew up Catholic. So I kind of understood that world. And I had gone to Rome twice on two different outreach trips. And I thought, wow, Lord, I could do this. Like, mm-hmm, I love Italy. I go to Italy. And Sean's always like, these are your people.
I'm
like,
Sean
yes
is your husband.
Sean
so
is my
we'll
husband
just say that right
yeah
here.
Yeah.
So there's not some random guy, Sean, going,
yeah,
why do you like
advice
this place?
Yeah. 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 And you just fit in. It was.
It was natural.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the culture and the language.
And the food.
Ooh, there you
the
go.
The food, all the things.
Gelato.
And at that time, we had some Italians at the school, and they were doing an internship because
mm-hmm
they came. Like Fort Lauderdale had sent them over. There was two couples because they were then going to go back to Italy mm-hmm and start a church. They didn't know where or all those things. So they ended up being in Rome And so me and another friend from the missions training program, we decided to spend our 30-day with them in Rome. So, yeah, that's...
And did you love it?
I loved it, but it was like I knew how God had told me during that time, this isn't it. This isn't the place, you know? So it was kind of like, okay, I think, yeah, just being sensitive to the Lord in that and realizing like, yeah, this isn't where God is going to have me, you know, be a missionary and live my life.
I was saying to somebody recently, I was a friend of mine who serves overseas, and she's feeling like there's this big change and she's kind of withdrawing from the thing she's doing now. And so she, you know, wrote this letter, you know, I want you to know my plans. And I said to her, I said, you know, the ways of the Lord are very seldom a straight line to the next point.
So true.
It tends to go a little bit circuitous. And that's the route to the mission field.
Yep.
Became very circuitous for you.
Yeah. There was a missionary who I had gone to this city in Hungary, and he was there trying to start a church. This with this couple, there was really nothing happening. They're like, they were really trying. And in other cities in Hungary, churches were taking off. But in this city, like nothing was happening. And they were like, what? But the missionary, he had shared this verse and I had never heard it before. And it changed my life. It was one of my life verses, you know. And he brought up the passage in John when Jesus is asking the disciples, right? He asked the multitude because they're not understanding what he's saying in John chapter 6 about eating his body and drinking his blood. And, you know, and he turns to the multitudes and they're like, we don't understand. And he's like, you know, Jesus is basically, you're welcome to leave then, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he turns to his disciples and he's like, are you also going to leave? And Peter's like, Lord, where would we go? We have, you know, where else are we going to go? And I just felt like, and he shared that, like, yeah, nothing is happening. None of these things are going on. He's like, but where else am I going to go? I'm going to keep following Jesus. And I feel like, yes, that has always been stuck with me. Like, okay, Lord, wherever this ride with you, this journey is going to go, like, I just want to be with you.
Absolutely.
Wherever that is.
For you alone have the words of life.
Exactly. Yep.
But
yep.
I also have this incredible fear because I disobeyed the Lord when I was 18 and it was a miserable year. I also have this fear of disobedience. Like, Lord, if I resist your will, I just make misery for myself. I'm, you know, like Jonah. If I try to hide from the will of the Lord and the call of the Lord, I'm going to be in the belly of a well. That's where this is going to end, or the belly of a fish, great fish. I just don't want to end that way. And I felt that misery, you know, growing up in a Christian home, I felt the misery of disobedience and knowing exactly why I was in that place. And so I have this huge fear, like, all right, even if I don't like what you're telling me, I will obey because I don't like the other options.
Yep, totally.
And that's that's part of this obedience.
Yep, yep. And I actually ended up staying at the Bible college for 5 years.
Really?
That's where God had me. That's where he wanted me. I was a student. I did the missions training program. And then they had the internship program at the time. So I was asked to be an intern and I interned for a year. And then after that, they were like, asked me to stay on staff at the Bible college for 2 more years. So I was at the Bible college for 5 years and I wouldn't trade it for anything. The Bible college was truly special and amazing. And yeah.
How did your obligations or your responsibilities change during those 5 years? So the first year is, you know, obviously your student.
School, intern and then internship. We had a lot of responsibilities of leading students, outreaches, dorm rooms, running servanthood areas and all those things. But then the lady who oversaw the coffee shop and the bookstore, her and her family were getting ready to leave. And so, Phil was the director at the time and asked me if I would be the one to take over the coffee shop and the bookstore. And yeah. And
that's
I just felt
exciting.
Like, yeah, this is it. I just loved it so much. Like, where else would I want to be? Like, I loved the discipleship and I loved the relationships and I loved the vision of the Bible college. Like,
I can just imagine those confused and kind of dazed newbies that arrived and that you could be their big sister.
Which is interesting considering that at first you were like, I'm not here to make friends.
Exactly. Yes.
And God said, oh, really? Let me tell you what you're here
village.
For. Yes, because all of it is relational. Because
our
relationship with Lord is relational. Yep, and that's what makes the difference.
Exactly.
So I warned everybody that there might be 2 to 3 parts because this has just been the introduction to Megan's life and all that the Lord has done. So we're going to be back because it gets even better. And you're going to have to come back for part 2, and you will love that. Part 2 with Megan Havilar next week. Join us.
Yes, please.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at WWK@cccm.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.